Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Hey, this is Paris. I'm here with Pete, I'm here with Danny, and we're still at the Division 2 preview event. And now we're going to start talking about my favorite subject, endgame. Like Doctor Strange, we're in the endgame now. So we've got someone here to talk about it, so yes. Please introduce yourself.
Yeah. So hello, my name is Yannick Banchereau. I'm a live content manager on the Division 2.
Thank you for taking some time to talk to us. So like I said, this is my favorite subject to talk about regarding the Division as 2016, I remember being at a similar event, asked a question about Endgame, and I kind of got blank stares, and I was like, uh-oh.
What's bad?
Yeah. Obviously, that got fixed, 1.8 update. The original game is in a great state right now. But here we are with the Division 2, and Julian had a nice presentation talking about Endgame. So can you kind of talk about the approach that, you know, I know there's going to be raids and things like that, but there's a very unique approach that you guys are taking with Endgame for the Division 2. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So first, when we made the game, the idea was we wanted to have an Endgame first philosophy. So as you mentioned, when the Division 1 came out, there was a bit of challenges with the fact that, you know, the Endgame was a bit lacking. So we've added a lot to it with the post-launch of the Division 1. And then working on Division 2, we tried as much as possible to bring as much of the Division 1 content with us in the sequel. So a lot of the things that have been added with all the updates will be available at launch. But what we're talking about here is also how do we create a very smooth transition between the campaign part and the end game. We didn't want to have something that's just, I play the game, I finish the campaign, and then suddenly the end game opens and it's not the same game anymore. We wanted to have something very smooth so we can bring as many players as possible with us to the end game. So what we've done with that is, and that's the spoiler part, but what we've done with that is basically we're adding a brand new faction that only comes into the game when you reach the endgame part. And that faction comes in, starts a full-on invasion of Washington, D.C. just when you thought that you had, you know, beaten all the factions and secured the city. Then this new super highly equipped, super highly trained faction comes in, takes over the whole city, and brings the Division back to this fighting mode of like, okay, we need to push them back. And then by having that faction, that creates this new challenge and this new reason for you to keep playing and keep fighting and then therefore engage in all the endgame content.
The way the analogy I had immediately when this was announced was like Legend of Zelda Link to the Past, where there was the dark world that you would go to, which was a mirror of the world that you're already in. So in that sense, is it a similar thing where you're going to go through the normal campaign? This other faction is going to come in. Are you going to have to replay some of the same missions, or are they going to be completely just different as far as the factions and the enemies go? How is that
going to
work?
So you're going to replay the missions. Basically, the endgame faction, the Black Dust, takes over the open world and the missions. So you're going to be replaying the missions, but you're going to replay these missions with the Black Dusk in there. So you're not going to be playing the mission fighting the same faction that you played during the campaign. It's the same space, but this space has been invaded by the Black Dusk. So it's going to be propped differently. You're going to see Black Dusk equipment everywhere, and then you're going to be fighting the Black Dusk in these missions. And then the rest of the open world is also completely invaded. So you're going to be seeing them in the open world as well, interacting and fighting with everybody, because they're really being hostile to everyone. So they attack everything. So you're also going to see skirmishes between the Black Dusk and the other enemy factions. And it's up to you if you want to take part or let them kill each other, you know, all these kind of things. So really the whole world, it's going to be the same world, the same missions, the same activities, but everything is modified by the fact that we have this new faction that takes over everything and that's attacking everyone.
While playing the campaign, do you learn throughout the game about Black Dusk, or this is when you finish the campaign that you'll find out about them invading?
So I don't want to give away too much in the story.
Okay.
But there are elements in the campaign that kind of hints at the fact that there's a bigger threat somewhere. And only when you reach the end game, you realize what this threat is. Now, what are they doing here? Who are they? All of that. I'll let you discover that with the game.
Okay. So throughout the normal campaign, there's talk of like the world logic, right? Like you're not just worried about the campaign components of it, you know, going to get, you know, separate missions, but you're worried about increasing or developing the other settlements within, you know, the Shade group. When the Black Tusk comes in during the end game, are you, is that still something that you need to worry about, or is that, or has at that time you've already, like, you've already, they're able to take care of themselves? Like, are you still required to go in and help support the smaller settlements to help them grow up?
You're going to have to help them, because as much as you help them develop themselves and upgrade basically their settlements, you're still going to have to help them survive in the open world, because, you know, when as they upgrade, they're actually going to start going out in the open world and starting taking care of themselves, gather resources for themselves, scavenge stuff for themselves to help also develop their own settlements. Once the Black Tusk invades, then it becomes so much harder for them to do that, because they are not equipped to fight the Black Tusk. Only the Division is. So you're really going to have to actually help kind of free the way and the path for them, for your civilians to actually be able to keep gathering resources for themselves. So yeah, you're still going to have to care about them.
Throughout the normal campaign, you're also able to call in support from those. Are you able to use that as a support tool as well against the Black Tusk, or is it because only the Division agents are equipped to defend themselves against the Black Tusk that they won't really make a difference?
It's they're not really equipped to fight the Black Tusk. So you can't, they are not going to be helping you in missions or things like that, because it's way too dangerous for them, and the Division wouldn't take the risk of exposing civilians to this like highly trained military force. That being said, there's still the call for backup function that is available for specific activities where the Black Tusk might be involved.
So we're in the end game, and we got to play a couple of these missions already. Yep. They were very intense. They're fantastic. And I was obviously going through my build and kind of looking at the loadout and seeing it was high-end weapons and gear. My question is, since we're going back and replaying some of these missions, are there going to be any additional things added into the in-game component with the Black Tusk, as far as maybe specialized quests or anything that are going to be specifically loot-driven, that basically loot that you would not be able to get unless you're actually playing the in-game campaign?
Yeah, I mean, we are structuring the endgame around the fight back against the Black Tusk. So if you remember the world tier system we had in the Division 1, we are bringing this back with the Division 2, but we are structuring it around the Black Tusk. So basically every world tier is its own small chapter in the story where you push back the Black Tusk from one part of the map. And every time you push them back and you go fight them in one of the strongholds, which are the very harder base of operation of the other factions, these get taken over as well by the Black Tusk. So they're basically destroying all the other factions. So you have to go push them back from those as well. And every time you do that, you manage to upgrade to the next world tier, which means you're going to get better items, better rewards, and all of that. So it's really about like keep progressing through these world tiers, through all these mini campaigns, and then build up your character, develop your specializations and all of that. And then based on the Black Tusk, you're going to get specific rewards and specific items that are linked to this faction.
So I know this is about campaign and endgame, but as far as the Dark Zone goes, I know we have the Occupied Dark Zone. Is that Black Tusk going to be there?
Ooh, yes.
Okay.
That's the idea of the Occupied Dark Zone. It's the same idea of like the Black Tusk, they're bold, they don't care. They go wherever, you know, they own the place. So they go to the Dark Zone as well and they occupy the Dark Zone. So that's what happens when you're in the Dark Zone and it becomes occupied. You actually see the choppers coming, you see the Black Tusk take over the Dark Zone, and then suddenly the SHD network goes down, no rules, everybody for themselves. And it's fight against other agents, but also fight against the Black Tusk.
So my question is this part of the beta?
Which part?
Well, where we've been playing both, the first part and the second part. That's all part of the beta?
We will have an invaded mission in the beta, yes.
Wow, I'm surprised because, you know, talking to... I felt like, okay, this is part of the beta, okay, but there's a lot of people here that think that it's not part of the beta. But so, I know in the beginning you said spoiler.
Yeah.
Why add that in the beta?
Because that's a very interesting topic. There were a lot of discussions internally on whether or not we wanted to spoil the Black Tusk or not. Part of us wanted to keep it as a secret and let people discover it. But we really want to talk about endgame. We really want to, you know, like talk about everything that's available in the endgame and how new the endgame is going to be and fresh compared to the first game. And it's hard to do that without revealing the fact that there is a new faction. Mm-hmm. So So we thought it's more important for people to experience it and to discover that there is a new faction and get to play it, so they really can believe that, you know, there's going to be a strong end game right from the launch. So that's why we're doing that.
And that's going to be very challenging. I think a lot of people are going to be loving it because it's very challenging.
It is. Yeah. And we're still not revealing anything story-wise. You know the faction comes, but you don't really know why and who they are. So you still have to sort this out.
So let's kind of talk roadmap, because one of the most important things is content. Is content, post-launch.
Yes.
So all this obviously is going to be there at launch, because once you complete the campaign, you're going to be able to do all this. But what are some of the things? I know raids, but what are some of the things people can expect post-launch, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months down the road?
So there's a lot of things we want to add. First, we said we're going to have three free episodes, and all of these will be keep adding to the story. So even the campaign you finish, and then the endgame part that you do, that also has a narrative aspect to it. So you're going to reach potentially a conclusion to that, but we're still going to keep adding to the story, which is something we're actually really excited about, because we didn't really get to do that in the first game. And we know how important it was for our players to keep adding to the story of the game and get the story, new missions, new map, new all of that. So this is something that we're going to be exploring a lot. Then we are looking at adding new activities, new events, new items. We know how important that is. We have the specializations also. We revealed today that we are going to have three new specializations added in the post-launch. So you have the three available at launch and three more that are going to come in the post-launch. So all these tools also that are not necessarily items, but just new ways for the players to develop new play styles, dig in some specific fantasies with new type of signature weapons that we are looking at. So there's going to be a lot of very, very different things. And we really want to try to add new content and new things for all type of players. We're really trying not to just add things for the hardcores that are going to be into the gear game, but also make it, as friendly as possible for all type of players. So those who want story, those who want PvP, those who want, co-op content with their friends, add to the clan system as well. We have the clan system at launch. We're going to keep expanding that system post-launch. So there's a lot of things we're looking at.
I guess final thing for me is, I keep bringing up the raid, but I don't want to know anything about the raid.
I'm not going to tell you anything about it.
That was kind of my thing. Yeah, 8 players. But other than that, I really hope we all get to go in that as blind as possible. I don't want to know anything. I guess the only question I would ask about that is, are you required to do any of this post-in-game content before you can access the raid?
So I'm not going to spoil anything with the raid. You want to go blind there. And yeah, that one we are definitely keeping under wraps, and we don't want to reveal anything. So no spoilers there. That being said, raid is meant to be like the most challenging content in the game. That's really for those people that really master the character building and the group play and everything. But yet it's going to be challenging, because you're going to have to learn group play as a team of 8 and not a team of 4. So it's a whole different new thing. We're going to be like facing you with a lot of new challenges in the raid. So in a way, yes, you will still need to actually have done a lot of the end game to be able to be properly equipped and prepared for the raid, to be able to actually take it on and beat it. So it's really very highly challenging content for the best players out there.
Well, I just want to say thanks for the interview, and I'm excited for the game, man. Can't wait.
Well, thank you, guys. I'm also super excited. I really can't wait.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.